By the way, I want to say congratulations to the few that are here on the 4th of July weekend. Yeah. That's really amazing feat, so keep relishing in that. These are one of the days that I'm thankful for, not only the freedom that we have in the country, but the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, and that's the greatest freedom of all. So can I get an amen for that? Amen to that. And so today is our last message for the King and Kingdom, our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're just going to finish that up. And we've got a great chunk of scripture before. And if we don't remember where we've been throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we need to be reminded that Jesus has taken us on quite a journey. And we meet Jesus in an unlikely place. He's teaching his disciples, and a group of people come to hear his story as well. And he begins to tell them this very elaborate story of what a follower of Jesus looks like. It doesn't matter if you're coming to prayer for the first time or how to deal with your neighbor that you really don't like, but Jesus reorients our story. And he says, no, this is instead how we act. This is how my followers choose to live. And so if I could I open up with a word of prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the foundation that we have in your Son. Lord Jesus is so good. He's so great. Lord, we cannot count just that one single blessing that we have in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, let alone all the other mercies that you've shown us day in and day out. Lord, may we approach this text and this message, Lord, and find ourselves within the story. May we ask the probing question of whether or not we're willing to build our life on the foundation of Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful for the people here. I pray for their hearts. I pray for, Lord, the conviction that the Holy Spirit will lead us to. Lord, I ask it to be vibrant and powerful and life-changing. Lord, I pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching. Lord, overshadow my feelings of inadequacy. Lord, by myself, I'm not good. But with you, your message is greater than I could ever make it. We ask this in your name. Amen. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Has anyone ever read the book Ender's Game, Ender's Shadow? It's a series. It's a science fiction book, and it was published in 1985 by Orson Scott Card. And Ender's Game is the story about a boy named Ender Wiggins. And Ender Wiggins is a small boy who is taken from his family, and he's given this task, that he is going to save the world from a race of evil, violent aliens. An unlikely story, but it's a fascinating story about how this young boy maneuvers his way through life. And this journey that he's taken on, he's very young. He's about 10 to 12 years old, and he is subjected with the task of saving the entire human race. But it's covered up. In the whole book, he thinks that he's playing a video game, but instead he's actually using giant forces of soldiers in order to combat this evil race that wants to crush the human people. And there's an interesting theme throughout the book. It's that Ender is taking from this moment of innocence in his life as a small boy, and he's delivered as the victor of the whole story. And people celebrate him. He's world-renowned. But like every good story and every good movie, there's always that subplot going around. In the story of The Lord of the Rings, there's a subplot of Samwise Gamgee and his own story of finding himself. And so in the story of Ender's Game, there's a comparison and contrast, a subplot. We have Ender Wiggins, who is young, he's brave, he's intelligent, he's not afraid of taking on this alien race and saving humankind, and he has the best interest of other people in mind. But the contrast comes in Ender's brother, Peter. Peter's not interested in saving the world, he's interested in taking the world over. He's not interested in other people's welfare. He's not interested in their feelings or their rules. He's willing to step on people. He's willing to kill people in order to come to power, to notoriety, in order to gain a following. He has no consideration for anybody else. And so, again, today we're going to finish up our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to find a similar comparison and contrast. Jesus has previously talked about prayer. He's talked about that we need to find the hypocrisy in ourselves. But he brings the story to a halt when he says we need to compare and contrast the people who stand and the people who fall which are the people who are interested in God and others, and the people who are only interested in themselves. He wants to build us a picture, a comparison, a contrast. And what he invites us to do is he invites us to look at our allegiances. What are we committed to? Are we committed to just ourselves? Are we committed to the story of the gospel? That God has moved in and he's shaking things up a little bit? And he invites us to choose a foundation on which to invite, to build our lives on. And so, if you will, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 7. I think we'll have the verses up here, I believe. Aha, Matthew chapter 7, will begin in verse 24. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it begins as this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so, as I said, today we're going to find a story of comparison and contrast. And so right off the bat in verse 24, we're going to find out that the first comparison are people who not only hear the words of Jesus. You can hear things all the time. You can hear the words that your parents say. You can, your children are the best of this. They hear what you say. Hey, go clean your room. But putting it into action is a much more difficult concept. Will you do it or will you not do it? Jesus is first talking about the group of people who hear the things that he says. Hey, I need you to be compassionate. I need you to forgive your neighbor. I need you to do this and to do that. But putting them into practice is where the rubber meets the road. And the people who do them, interestingly enough, James, in the letter of James, who is the brother of Jesus, actually talks about this same concept. He says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it also. And so he says that if you have been in the vicinity of my voice, if you've heard my instruction, then here's what I need you to do. I need you to hear, but I also need you to do. And those who do, you'll be called something special. You'll be called a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so there comes this interesting story, and I'm not a construction worker. I don't look like it. I have difficulty using large tools and saws, and thankfully I have all 10 of my fingers. But I know that there are certain foundations on which to build a home. That a concrete foundation on sturdy soil packed down is probably in my best interest. Sometimes building a home in Arkansas could be problematic because the ground is clay. And does anyone have a basement? You have a basement? Do a lot of the basements around here come with problems? No? Okay. Sherry's neighborhood, they've got a plot of land to build on if you're interested. But that's one of the reasons why there are not a lot of basements, because the foundation isn't quite so great. And if you were to put a basement underneath of a house and it would support the weight of the home and water would come and move and slightly move the clay, or there would be an earthquake, God forbid, but that would cause the foundation of your home to not be so incredible. But Jesus isn't talking about literally building homes. He's talking about building a foundation on the right things. Now, many times in Scripture, God is referred to as the rock. We don't see this so much in the New Testament as we do in the Old Testament. Psalm 18 talks about God who is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 4 talks about Christ who is our rock. The people who build their lives on the foundation and the words of Jesus, not just the words, but you have to put these things into practice. That's a foundation worthy of talking about. That's a foundation of building a followership on. I'm never going to build a subdivision of homes on a piece of ground that I shouldn't ever be building a home on. Likewise, I would never take a group of people and ask them to follow someone or something that did not matter. I would never put up a picture of myself and say, vote for Brandon Morrow, because he'll lead you to the promised land. Because one, that would be a lie. Two, that would be sorrowfully disappointing. And three, I don't look very good in pictures. Amen to that. But a foundation on Jesus Christ will last. It goes into verse 25, and it says, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. This isn't a real storm. I think this is perhaps the most severe, one of the most severe stories in all of Scripture. Because it brings us to a point, asking the question, are we building our lives on the foundation of Jesus, or are we building our lives on something else? And he gives us a very interesting picture of the day of judgment. It'll be wild, like a storm. And the rain fell and the floods came. And when the winds blew and beat up that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. If your life has been founded on Jesus Christ, his principles for living, how he expects us to act in the Sermon on the Mount, then on the day of judgment, we'll withstand everything. As we come to Jesus to give an account for everything of our lives, we'll stand. That's the type of life that I want to live. That's the type that I want to lead. And I know that sometimes the biggest hesitation is doing. We don't just do for the sake of doing, but we do after we've received instruction, after we've received the right course on how to do something. Now, many of us, we hear a lot of things. We read our Bibles, and we're filled with conviction, and we want to act, but sometimes we don't, and we don't for a couple reasons. One, we don't act because we're afraid. What if I fail? What if I don't know what to do? Well, that's the other thing. I don't know how to do it. Are you trusting in your own power, your own understanding? Or are you leading into the work of the Holy Spirit and you're asking God to guide you through that whole thing in such a way that if he doesn't jump in and save you, you're going to fail miserably? And I think I had a third one, but I forgot it. But the problem is that we hear and that we don't do, just being honest. And so we're brought to the next point of our comparison and contrast in verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So that's the next point of our comparison and contrast. That you can hear the words of Jesus, but if you don't do them, what good is it? If you're never compassionate towards someone who's less fortunate, if you never use your gifts for the building up of the kingdom of God, what are you doing? What are you following? Are you following this intellectual idea of a Jesus who will save you? Or are you showing others what saving actually looks like? That when we're in our deepest, darkest, most points of frustration, that sometimes I need someone else to intervene and help me out a little bit. Sometimes if you were to suffer from depression, some of the greatest thing I think you could receive is perhaps the gift of prayer from someone who loves you. It doesn't do a whole lot. Maybe it gives us comfort and peace in that time. But what I hope that it does is build a greater picture that in the deepest, darkest moments of our life that Christ moved in and intervened at the right time and he saved us from a less certain future. That while we were still sinners, Christ came at the right time to die for the ungodly. That is you and that is me. We can hear that all we want, but if we never demonstrate that type of love, if we never demonstrate that type of care to another individual, then we're not really building the kingdom of God because it's still all right here. We can think and we can hope about what Scripture says and we can piddle it over at our living room table and talk about how great Scripture is, but there's a point that, again, where the rubber has to meet the road. And hopefully, the 10th, we'll get to see what that looks like. That changed people don't just gather in a building, but changed people are changed in such a way that every time that they leave, they go for the interest of others. Not so that other people could say, oh, look how great Gateway Church is, but they can say, oh, look how great God is. And so it's in such a way that we receive no glory, we receive no praise. Now, a friend of mine, him and his wife, had began to minister to this elderly woman. She had been a widow for about 40 years, and from the moment she stepped into the church, my friend's wife pulled on him and said, we're going to go begin ministering to this individual. And she lived some 30 minutes away, and once a week they'd go and they'd visit her, and they'd see her, they'd pray with her, you know, they'd bring her nice desserts, and they'd encourage her, and she became like a grandmother to them. And they enjoyed that relationship, but she didn't live forever. And eventually she passed away. And my friend, who's a pastor, he ended up doing her funeral. And several months later, they get a phone call from a lawyer and said, hey, you need to come down to my office and we need to talk because this wonderful lady just left you a large sum of money. Now, we don't get into the relationship for that. They had no idea that her husband had been a millionaire a couple times over. He'd been dead for 40 years. But they served anyway. It wasn't to get that gift. It wasn't for this, but they saw a woman in need, and they knew how much Christ had done in their lives and for them, what Christ is doing in the world always, And they intervened in that woman's life, and they made something special, they made something profitable, and they left a legacy for other people in their church to do likewise. Not so someone will leave you a nice fancy check at the end of their life. She didn't have to do that. But because they stepped in, it left a legacy and it meant something to her. It goes on to say, verse 27, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We can hear, but if we don't do, it says it will be called a foolish man and on the day of judgment. I think Jesus will probably ask the question, what did you do? What did you do with the time? What did you do with the talents? What did you do with the treasures that I've given you? What did you do with that relationship? He's talking about a group of people who aren't building their lives on the real foundations. They're only interested maybe in their own gain, or they hear, but they never do. But what's the result of it? It says, and great was the fall of it. I can only picture what that'll look like. I want my faith to manifest itself into works. I want words that I see within the pages of this collection of books, and I want them to grow hands and feet, and I want them to move out, and I want them to affect the lives of other people. Because if I really recognize the trueness, the greatness of the gift that is within these pages, how can I keep it to myself? How could I possibly keep that to myself? If I truly garnish and garner, I think is the word I tried to use just then, garner that great gift that God has given me, I'm going to brandish it. I'm going to show it to everybody that I possibly can. And so likewise, I want us to see that the same desire and the same need to do that here. The Bible tells us that all people are without excuse. I have no excuse. I've heard the words. Romans chapter 1 tells a completely different story. It says that all people are without excuse, having seen the very nature of God in creation. Because when you look at a beautiful flower or see the sunrise or the sunset for the first time, what does it show you? That it was created by someone. It was created for a purpose. And so this idea is called general revelation, that God, in his most basic form, is revealed to us in the things that we see. And in creature, if you've ever seen the sunset come up over a nice mowed lawn, or go down just past the trees and the sky is at orange, yellow kind of phase, you can't help but think, and you snap a picture of it and you post it on Facebook and you say, wow, hey, look how great our God is. Now, that doesn't quite help tell the story of hearing and doing, but it does show us that there is a power and a presence of God readily available all around us. And I don't want to be without excuse. Having heard the words of Jesus, having been given instruction and guidance for my life, and never done anything about it. I don't want to be without excuse, and I have no reason to be without excuse, because God has given me a great mission to go and tell other people. I love what Doc said this morning. He says, you just need to take Jesus with you wherever you go. And that might be perhaps the best definition I've ever heard of the Great Commission. Could be anywhere. Think about all the different opportunities that we have to share the love of Christ Jesus wherever we go. And I want to be bold enough in my life that if God says to me, I need you to do this, I'm not just going to hear him, but I'm going to go forth and I'm going to do it. So I hope that brings us to just a slight decision in our life that if we are going to live a life under the name of Jesus Christ, what are we going to build our life on? Are we going to build it under wise foundations or foolish foundations? Are we going to build it for our own gain or for our own glory? Or are we going to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And are we going to begin to go forth and do things? I think the only sure and the only solid foundation is in Jesus. I think many times we confuse this story as the story of the wise and the foolish builders, people that are actually building something. But the root of the build is the foundation. And so it becomes a story of what are we building the foundation of our lives on? Again, is it for ourselves? Is it for our gain? Is it for our pride? That even after hearing the good, life-changing, unwavering news about Jesus, will we not tell other people? Will we not show other people? The scriptures say that if we do them, we'll be wise, and it'll show on the day that we stand before Jesus. I want to give you the encouragement and say this, that Gateway will not build its future upon itself. We won't. Because if we build the future on our own skills that God has given us, on our own source of finances, on our own insecurities, on our own likes and wants and desires, then this isn't Jesus' church at all. It becomes our church. I don't ever want it to be my church. I don't ever want it to be your church. But I want this always to be Jesus' church. So let's build the sake and the future of this church on the words of Jesus. But not just in the words of Jesus, but in participation. That hand and foot will continually show the good news of Jesus Christ. How does that sound? So, as I was kind of saying, I think this leaves us to a moment of decision. A moment of reflection, a moment of reckoning, where we truly, truly, truly come to the point of asking ourselves, am I building my life and my legacy on the giftings, skills, personality, finances, the blessings that God has given me? Or am I going to build my foundations on the redemptive nature of Jesus Christ? What will you build your life on? And so the only response to this is for you to make a decision. And there are many times and ways in which we make a decision, and maybe you need one of our leaders, Doc and Denny, or myself, to pray over you. Say, I need to be clothed in prayer as I make this decision. Can you pray that God would guide me and lead me and protect me? Would you help me along with my scope of discipline? Maybe you need the help of your life group to say, hey, I want to follow Jesus the best that I possibly can. I want to recognize the full giftings and abilities and not use them for myself, but use them for the kingdom of God. Or maybe there's one of us, two of us, three of us in the room, I don't know, that has masqueraded as a great follower of Jesus. We've pretended. We've talked well. We look nice as so-called Christians. But we're not really into following Jesus. We're not really into putting his words into practice. And if that's you, I want to talk about it after our time together this morning. And I want to encourage you to take the next step in your faith in Jesus Christ and to fully surrender. Or maybe there might be one or two of you in this room that have actually never been baptized by immersion. That surely is your next step. As you participate in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are raised to the newness of life. If that's you too, I only think it takes a couple minutes to fill that thing up. And what a celebration for everybody to rejoice in. Bottom line, what are we building our foundations on? If we're building our foundation on anything other than Jesus, it won't last. But a foundation in Jesus Christ will last forever. Let's pray. God, your love is immeasurable that you've poured out through your Son. I'm thankful for the good gift that we've received, Lord. Thank you for confronting me, Lord, and not to just be a hearer of your word, but to be a doer also. Lord, my faith isn't quiet. It isn't private. Lord, it's not so much personal. Lord, it's alive, it's robust, and it's waiting to tell everyone about the good, redemptive work that you've done in my life and in the life of your people here today. So let's be bold. Let's take a step out. Let's follow you in such a way that if we don't put our full faith, our hope, and trust in you, Lord, that we're going to fail. We're toast without you. Lord, thank you for these people here today. I pray for their lives. I pray for their futures. I pray for their families. I pray for their future of following you. Lord, let it be rooted in you, wholly, completely, without reserve. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the greatest follow-up, I think, to the Sermon on the Mount is to go out and do something. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7, and Jesus talks about how he preaches, how he teaches. But in Matthew 8 through 9, you know what Jesus does? He goes out and he heals people. And so we, on July 10th, we're going to go out and we're going to heal a little piece of the broken world. We're going to heal a little piece of the broken world in which we live, in which we participate in, and we are going to get our hands dirty. Sweaty, too, probably. Somewhere on the seats, there's also some on the baptistry back there, there is a schedule. You will need to keep that schedule. Put it on your fridge. Put it in your phone. Take a picture of it. Share it with your friends, please. We want more people to be involved in this. And so we are going to do a one-time schedule for this, and I think it'll be a fantastic day that we can get out, get into the neighborhood. And again, as I said this morning, it's not for other people to see how great of a church we are. It's for them to see how great God is. And so I've already been working with a couple different organizations, and they are excited about us coming and being a part of this. And so our schedule will go as follows. If you can be here at 9:30 on time, be here at 9:30 on time. Not 9:35, not 9:40. It might be best if you get here at like 9:15. I'm just saying. And I need you to prepare for a hot and sweaty day. Wear work-appropriate clothing. A suit and tie is not going to be appropriate in Arkansas heat. Neither is flip-flop sandals. Because there will be different areas in which you are working in that will be hot, sticky, you might get your toe poked. Or there's also the possibility of critters. One of them rhymes with rakes and starts with an S. Not steaks, but snakes. You don't want me to say it. It's scary for everybody. So, yeah, you can handle it. There you go. So wear appropriate closed-toed shoes. Some pants, loose-fit clothing, because, again, you will sweat and want a little breeze in there some way, shape, or form. And come ready to worship at 9:30. So we're going to spend about 20 minutes in corporate worship together. We're going to receive our instructions, and 9:50, we're going to head to our work sites. And the first work site will be, it is the Future Panthers Field and Park just on Long Hills Road. And so it hasn't been used in a while. It's getting ready to change hands to the city of Benton. But it's overgrown. It doesn't look good. But what will happen in the near future is that kids and families will get to participate in that park. And we'll get to be a little chunk and a little piece of that beauty and that celebration that families can enjoy it. And hopefully some of your kids or grandkids can enjoy that as well. And so we'll be outside. We'll be moving brush. We'll be cutting down limbs and, again, getting hands dirty. The second work site will be Bryant Elementary School. I had a great meeting with the superintendent of Bryant Schools, and he is excited, and all of the administration is excited, that Gateway Church wants to partner and help. I actually had more emails from local schools asking if we could do projects and help more than we could possibly handle for the 10th, which is an awesome thing. It was a great time. They were excited. They were encouraged. They allowed me to pray with them. And so we are kind of jumping in with the local schools, and so it'll be at Bryant Elementary. What they're asking is that we just do some general ground maintenance for them. And so they've got massive flower beds and a massive playground where weeds have moved into. Children don't like weeds. They probably don't notice it, but they don't like weeds. And so we're going to pull those weeds. We're going to make things beautiful again. And the third site will be here at Gateway Church. We've got a lot of the little different areas that we need some people to help out outdoors. And so the first is our flower beds along our tree row, and we have some rocks on the edge of our property over here where we are going to pull limbs, and we're going to pull trees, and we're going to make sure that weeds and trees and habitats for animals cannot survive. So there's also a fourth option. We are going to need some people to help prepare a meal, because after we're all hot, sweaty, and after everything's been said and done, we're going to come back here, we're going to eat lunch together. A time to celebrate what God has done in our city and in our projects together, and just a time to enjoy each other. And so if you would like to help for the food preparation, and we'll also have our nursery will if you've got kids, drop them off here. We'll have activities for them to do. And so we'll be working from about 10 to noon. On that sheet of paper is a list of items that you should help bring. Rakes, shovels, ground hose, loppers, shears, clippers, and friends, please wear gloves. Your best bet is to wear leather gloves. Your cloth gloves, if there's something pokey, it'll go right through it. It'll stab me in the hand. The best bet is a leather glove. Wear a hat. It's going to be hot. Bring sunscreen and bug spray if you're intolerant to both. And I think that we're going to do a great time, a great good piece of work on that Sunday. And we'll have a chance to come back and eat a meal together. And this is a great opportunity. If you know someone who likes to get their hands dirty, maybe they're not going to church, this is a great time to get them involved. Say, hey, would you help me come do a project on Sunday morning? And so great invitation. And so we'll send out more communication as a reminder for these things on the 10th. And so what you'll need to do before you leave is behind Kevin James, right next to the donuts. Don't get distracted by Kevin or the donuts. Sign up for where you would like to work at. We have three different options. If the list is full, jump to the next list. And so before you leave, go get your name signed up. Sign up somebody that you think should be here as well. And so thank you. God bless. We'll look forward to do something special on the 10th.